Thank you, Dom. Well, good morning. Happy New Year. I'm not 100% yet, but we're almost there. You know, don't you hate it when it's like all right in here? Anybody feeling me? Right? No? Okay, good. Because that's where it is, but that doesn't matter. What I want to say is, for the fourth time, I commend you for coming today to be a part of what Hope is doing. And now we're going to get into God's Word. And just a quick announcement with that, for those parents who are going to stay for the parent meeting, we want you to get home. Okay, so we're grateful that you came today, but we want you to get home, and we'll have some information for you, and we want to get this parent meeting next Sunday, okay? For the three of you families that are here? Okay, great. All right, so with a new year begins a new series, and we're going to be looking in the book of John for the next several months together, and our series is entitled The Word, and I don't know about you, but if you think about it, words can be powerful, can't they? They can make someone's day. They can ruin it. Words can build somebody up, or words can tear someone down. And probably in our own lives that we've had things said to us, or we've said things to other that we were glad that we told, or that was told to us, or we wish they had never said that to us, or we wish that we had never said that to them. But as we go through our series here in the Gospel of John, we're going to see the words come to life. We're going to see that Jesus Christ is equivocally the Son of God. We're going to see also that anyone believes in what he has done with the work on the cross, it says that we will have eternal life. And finally, as a follower of Christ, God gives us his Spirit that teaches us, that guides us, that comforts us along the way. And so as we start together this morning, if you're following along your outline, what I want to do is I want to give you the main idea for our series. I want to give you the series theme verse. I want to give you a brief summary of the Gospel of John, specifically in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then we're going to take some time in John chapter 1. So in your outlines, we begin by saying that eternal life comes through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Eternal life comes through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And we come to this conclusion because of the passage that's found in John chapter 3, verse 16, which many of us are familiar with, but I want to read it to us again. And as I've been praying about today, I'm praying that each of us would see this passage of Scripture in a new and fresh way. It says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that's what we want us to understand throughout this series. That we want to understand that it is life that's abundant, full, and eternal. That's through Jesus Christ. What I'd like to do now is just give you an overview of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written by a man named John, who was brothers with James, who they were sons of Zebedee. So when Jesus called them to be his disciples, he was a fisherman by trade. But not only that, he was a disciple. He was one of the 12 that followed Jesus. So what we can say and know is that this story in the Gospel of John about Jesus is accurate. John was written between 85 and 90 AD. His audience was mainly new Christians, but also people who were searching. So we had Jewish and Greek cultures involved in his audience. And what we see in chapters 1 and 2 of John is we're going to see the manifestation and the presentation of Jesus. And we'll see also in chapter 3, we're going to see the ministry and the message of Jesus Christ. And our series will conclude with Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. So that's the Word series in a nutshell. And so as we begin this morning, before we get into John chapter 1, how many of you have ever thought about the everyday things you use, and you thought, how did that ever come to be? Like, I was brushing my teeth, and I'm going, whoever thought of, like, I wonder what it would be like if I had an instrument that just cleaned my mouth? Or, like, the coffee maker, right? Who would have thought, right? Thinking, what would it be like if we took, like, a pot and made a machine that put the water through the coffee grounds? Like, anybody, the things that we take for granted, do you ever think, like, how was that made? Or where? How did that ever get started? Anyone? All right, good. Several of you. Good. Well, this week I was reading about a company. And the company I was reading about started back in the mid-1990s by a gentleman by the name of Larry Page and Sergey Brin. They were college students at Stanford University. And they were going to originally call their company Backrub. But they ended up calling their company from a mathematical term, which is a one with 100 zeros behind it. Anybody familiar with that company? Google, right, because that term that's one with 100 zeros behind it is Google, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope. But that's Google. And these guys probably, when they collaborated, said, what would it be like if we could provide instant information for people? That they could just go right on the computer and boom, it's there. You know, and that's something that I know I take for granted, and probably many of us take for granted now. If we want to search for something, it's with Google or another search engine. But imagine, have you ever thought of this as well? Have you ever thought about what it was like when we didn't have those things? You know, I remember when we didn't have cell phones, and you had that phone that had a long cord on it? You know, and as a kid, my brother was literally, he was a Casanova, and he would spend hours on the phone. So he would drag the cord. All you would see was a cord from our bedroom to the main dining room area, and then my mom would hang up on him all the time. But anyway, my point is this, is that the things that we sometimes take for granted, the things that we know about, they have beginnings. And that's what we want to do here today and talk about in John chapter 1. Verses 1 to 5. So if you have your Bible with you today, let's take a look at that. We're going to turn to John chapter 1. John is the fourth book in the New Testament portion of the Bible. We're going to look at verses 1 to 5. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Beginning with verse 1, it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Or another translation where it says, and the dark has not understood it. And so what we are seeing here in these verses today is John is speaking to us about the eternal Word of God. And so for the next few moments together, what I'd like to do is talk about the power of the Word. I want to talk to you about the power of the Word and take a look at what this means for us. What does the power of the Word do for us? And what does that look like for us to have Christ rule our hearts? And so again, if you're following along your outline, the first is this, is that the power of the Word builds our faith and confidence. The power of the Word builds our faith and confidence. The word comes from the Greek word logos. And logos means uttered by a living voice. And in our context today, the Word of God. What it is that it's God's revealing something about himself spoken through his spoken word. And ultimately, logos brought us the person of Jesus Christ. What John begins is he begins to tell us that Christ has always been there. Our passage starts with in the beginning. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we see here in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, speaking of Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus coexisted with God the Father. Jesus did not become divine. He didn't become divinity. He was. He was 100% God and 100% man. And Christ is God's agent in salvation. And so when this all began, God had us in mind. There was no mistake in what he was doing. And his plan was going to follow through. But we also see in John chapter 1, verse 3, it tells us that Christ was also God's agent in providing creation. Jesus created things. He spoke things into existence. And so if we thought about it for a minute, just think, if we were there, and we traveled way back in time, and it was just a void, and there was emptiness, and then there was, let there be. Let there be light. Let there be. He spoke it into existence. But what we can understand about our passage here today is Jesus did not act alone. He was under his Father's authority. See, Christ is Lord of all, as we've sang today. But what we understand that Christ was under God's authority. And what we do see is that creation reveals our Creator. Our creation reveals our Creator. The Bible tells us that all things were made by God and they were made for God. And so that includes us. You and I have been created for a relationship with God. And as followers of Christ, we are under Christ's authority. We live our lives. Our lives speak devotion and they speak obedience to Him. And when you and I allow the power of the Word to build both our faith and confidence, what happens is we understand that God has been there. He is there. He will always be there. And when we think in those moments where He's not, He is. When we think He's gone and absent, He's there. And that's how our faith and confidence builds, in knowing that God is there. But not only that, you and I have to play an active role in that faith and confidence being built in our Heavenly Father. It's like for some of us who save and invest in the future, I know that I had to discipline myself with putting money away and had to reconfigure our budget so that the money would be able to go away. And then it had to stay committed to that. It would get frustrating, and sometimes it get frustrating, like, what if we just had that extra cash sometimes? But you know, at the end of the day, when we stay committed to that, then we know that it's being built up and built up. You see, the reason I share that with us is that our faith and confidence is the same way in God. When we walk with Him, when we journey with Him through the difficulties, the disappointments, the temptations of life, and we know that He is there, He will guide us, He will protect us, He will be faithful to us, then we know that we can rely on Him. That's what He does with us when we go through these things in life, that He wants us to rely more and more on Him. And that's how the power of His very words build both our faith and our confidence. Some words that were spoken by Eleanor Roosevelt say this: I am who I am today because of the choices I made yesterday. Once again, you and I have to make the decision to trust in God's promises. Not only that, we have to make the decision to go with God. And I know in my own life, it's when the hardest times come is when my faith and my confidence are built in Him. I learn to rely on Him more so that when something more difficult comes, I can look back and say, I remember what God has done. I remember how faithful He was. His word never failed me. And so for you and I, when we talk about the power of the word building our faith and confidence, the question is, where are we placing our foundation? Where are we placing our foundation? Just like a house has to have a foundation, correct? In order for it to build, you have to start there. And for you and I, let us allow the power of the word to build us up. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says this: Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. But for now, we allow the power of the word to build our faith and confidence. And we begin with our foundation being on Christ alone, who is the cornerstone. So we begin with the power of the word building our faith and confidence. The second is this: the power of the word shows us the way. The power of the word shows us the way. John continues in verses 4 and 5 where he speaks of both light and darkness. And if you take time and read through the book of John, you'll see that this is a main theme for this gospel. And what I want to say is that light equals life. It's God's light that holds out hope in the person of Jesus Christ. It's Christ's light that shows everyone who God is. And finally, eternal life is God's gift to us through His Son. Now, verse 5 tells us that the light shined in the darkness. Now, darkness represents a world that wanted nothing to do with God, a world that turned its back on God. In other words, a darkness is a life without Christ. And so we said that light equals life, but light equals life equals truth. Because what Jesus did was, when He came to this earth as 100% God and 100% man, He showed the world who God was. And so when he showed who God was, he also showed that there was a way to salvation. There was a way to be rescued from eternal separation from God. The Bible tells us in John 3:19, it says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. In your outline, you'll see a couple more blanks where darkness equals eternal death. Darkness equals eternal death. It's an unending separation from God. But we also know that the opposite is true, is that light equals eternal life. There it will be an endless celebration and worship of God the Father because of what Christ has done on the cross. See, in my own life, there was a time where I was in a dark place, where I had turned my back on God, where I was more pleased with a life without Christ than with him. But I came to a place in my life where I realized I couldn't go to church enough, and I couldn't reason, and I couldn't think through a way to salvation, a way to God. And I came to a place where I saw light, and that was Christ. And what Christ did, his light defeated darkness on the cross. And when I believe that, I know in my heart of hearts that God said, you are mine because of what my son has done. You see, what we need to understand today is that some of us may be thinking, I don't know what my life would be like without Jesus. And some of us may be here today thinking, I wonder what it would be like if I gave my life to Jesus Christ. See, last week as we talked about the new resolution, if you remember, we said that salvation was available to all. But it was when a person came and admitted that they're in a dark place and they believed that Christ's light shined and that his light defeated darkness and that they confessed that Jesus will be Lord and light and life of their life. It says that we will be saved. Saved from eternal separation from God and a life in Christ. And so I want to encourage you that if you have thought through that, you've come week after week, and understanding is as simply as surrendering your life to him. And once again, myself and the elders will be here to talk with you about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you and I allow the power of the word to show us the way, we follow where the light is shining. And so it's like, when I work here and in the fall, it gets dark early, doesn't it? You know, around 4 o'clock. So what I have to remember every time when I come back from lunch is to turn a light on somewhere. Because there have been many times that I've walked through here and the chairs aren't stacked yet. And I have bruises, no kidding, from chairs or I've walked into doors or whatever it is. But I've now realized and remembered I need to have a light on so that I know where to go. You see, when you and I allow the power of the word to show us the way, we keep our focus on the light. And that light is Jesus Christ. St. Francis of Assisi once said, all the darkness in the world could not extinguish a single candle. See, what we can realize about Christ's light is this, is that his light exposes the sin in our lives. Not only that, it exposes the dark areas of our heart. It not only does that, but it also keeps us from falling into sin. And when God exposes those dark places in our heart, he invites us to be a part of the work and the process to become more like him in those areas. Not only that, Christ's light shows us how to live for God and to live for his kingdom. And I know when I put my focus and my attention on Christ, who is my light, even when I feel that it's dark, I know that his light will always shine the brightest. And so for you and I, when we talk about the power of the word showing us the way, really the question is, who is illuminating your path? Who is illuminating your path? You see, when we allow Christ to rule our hearts and our lives, we'll choose to follow his light will choose to rely on Him. And through that, we understand that His words will build us up and show us the way. The Bible says in Psalm 18:28, it says, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." So allow the power of the Word to show us the ways of God. But let's begin by allowing Christ to be our light and our life. And not only that, again, we say this probably every week, this isn't just another book that we can read, but this is God's very words to us, to guide us, to help us heal, to help us make it through any difficulty, and to show us that He was there, He is there, and He will always be there. So we started off by saying the power of the Word builds our faith and our confidence, and the power of the Word shows us the way. I appreciate Google. I'm glad it's there. And not just Google, but there's other sites, as like studying. I go to several different websites that help me and assist me in preparing for a Sunday. But when you think about that search engine, back in the 1990s, those two guys that got together, imagine being in that room and just saying, what would it be like if we could provide of information that would be available to all? And so for you and I, really the question comes down to this. What would it look like if you allowed Christ to consume your life? What would it look like if you allowed Christ to consume your life? Where do you need God to speak to you? Where do you need to hear His words of comfort? Where do you need to hear even His words of discipline? His words of encouragement? And where are you looking for Christ to shine in the dark places? By asking those questions, what we need to realize today is that it all begins with surrender. It begins with me, and it begins with you. And what we do is when we surrender and we say, "God, I allow you to rule my heart," then we begin the process of becoming more and more and more like Him. Our faith and our confidence will grow. We will continue to seek the light that shines brightest. Because remember, He had both you and I in mind at the beginning. There was no mistake in what God has done, what He will do, and what He will accomplish when this is all over. This morning, you see this communion table. And in communion, this is a time where we commune with God. We reflect upon what He has done for us. And there were powerful words that Jesus gave on the night that He was betrayed. And those words were, "This is my body, broken for you. And this is my blood of the new covenant." You see, as we've said here before, when we take communion, when He said those words, that was about to change everything. Because Jesus looked back to the beginning, when God sent His one and only Son into the world. I'm going to ask the ushers if they come forward, and I want to encourage you. One, if you have never placed your faith in a relationship with Christ, it's okay that you pass these elements. As we've shared before, these elements represent Christ's body and His blood on the cross. And it may not have any significance for you. But today, maybe you've come and you've said, "Yes, I see the light. I don't need to think anymore. I don't need to try to come to church more than anybody else. I realize it's Christ's sacrifice. And that's it. Because He remembered me. He thought of me in the beginning." As a follower of Christ today, I'll encourage you just to take this time with your Heavenly Father and thank him for what he's done. Thank him for his word. Not just his word, but thank him that it is his very words to us.